Megillah, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Gimel, 4-3. And since in the previous Mishnah we had talked about Kriyas HaTorah and reading from the Navi and the Haftorah, both of which require a minyan, 10 men above the age of 13. So our Mishnah here will list 10 other things which require a minyan in the conventional sense. In the list of 10, two of them will be Kriyas HaTorah and reading from the Navi, the Haftorah. In addition, the Mishnah will have two other cases at the end where you need 10 men, but unlike the first 10, these last two require that one of the 10 men in both cases be a Kohen. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Ein Poresin Es Shema, the first of the 10 is that one can't be Pores Shema without a minion. This Pores Shema is something that we don't find done today at all. It's a way in which people who are praying by themselves seek a minyan just for the components of the Shacharis davening which require a minyan. So that means essentially the Kaddish, Baruch Hu, Kedusha components. So the idea is that they would, let's say, come late to shul for argument's sake after having prayed even, but then they need the minyan to do those particular things. What happens is that Shlich Tzibor, one of the 10, their men in the minyan will say, let's say even after Shmoneh Esrei, for argument's sake, whenever it is, they'll say Kaddish and then Baruch Hu, and people answer Baruch Hu. Now when you answer Baruch Hu, you're saying Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMavorach, you all should bless Hashem, the source of blessing, and people respond, of course, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMavorach L'Olam Voed, people say indeed Hashem is blessed, for now and forever. That response is not actually a fulfillment of the demand, the imperative, Baruch Hu Es Hashem, bless Hashem. So therefore, we need to sort of, to be consistent with what we're saying, we actually have to have a bracha. So it won't be enough just to say Baruch Hu and a Kaddish. In order to do the Baruch Hu properly, we have to have a blessing recited. And the blessing they're going to recite for everybody to be Yotzi this is the first of the Birkas Kriya Shema, the first of the brachas that precede Shema. This is the bracha we refer to as Yotzer HaMa'oros. And after that's done, the one bracha, Yotzer Ma'oros, then already like they've done what they had to do in terms of getting the minyan component, and they perhaps can go on with their day, whatever the story is. So it's called Pores Nes Shema because Pores means kind of like to divide in half, like a prusa is like the half of a loaf of bread. And the idea being that although there are two brachas of creation beforehand, you have Yotzer HaMa'oros and Ahava Rabba, or Ahava Solem, but we don't do both of them, we just do the first one, so you do the first half to fulfill the requirement. So that can't be done, because all Devarim Shebe Kedusha can't be done without a minyan. Now, in our list, certain things will be requiring mitzvahs d'orais, and others just midrabbanan. Certainly things like prayer services, prayers, Kedusha, Kaddish, these things are only rabbinic in nature, and therefore the requirement to have a minyan certainly can only be rabbinic in nature. Nevertheless, it's built on the more larger requirement that any time that we're doing a Davar Shebe Kedusha, whether even Daraisa ones, you need a minyan. The base of that is because the Pasuk says in Parshas Emor, in Sefer Vayikra, it says, V'nikdashti besoch b'nei Yisrael, I shall be sanctified from the midst of b'nei Yisrael, the Jewish people, and that's the Davar Shebe Kedusha we're talking about, the sanctification of Hashem, and it says, besoch b'nei Yisrael, within the midst of Israel. So there's a gezerah shava from the word besoch, betoch, from within, from the midst of, that in the story of Korach's rebellion, the pasuk says, hedilu metoch ha'eda, separate yourselves from the midst of the eda, the congregation of rebellious people. So you see, betoch ben Yisrael and mitoch ha'eda are connected. And we have another gezerah shava connecting the word eda of the pasuk by Korach, the Metocha Eda of the Korach story, to the other Eda of the Meraglim story of the 10 of the spies. So Hashem says, Ad Masai le'eda hara hazos, how long will it be that Hashem has to contend with this evil community, Eda? And again, you have a connection, Eda, just as the 10 spies, there were 12 spies, but two of them, Yeshua and Caleb, were good. The other 10 were the bad spies, and they're referred to as an Eda. So it just says, the 10 spies refer to an Edo with 10, so then you have that recurses back up to the Metoch, to Bnei Yisrael, to Nikdashti Pesochem, Betoch Bnei Yisrael, that all needs a Davar Shepkedusha, needs 10 men. Okay, so that's the basis for it, and whether it's an Asmachta, so in the case here we're talking about Parsonet Shema, of course it's rabbinic, so it's an Asmachta, just relying on that infrastructure, if you will, or it's on a Dreis level, we need 10 men to do a Davar Shepkedusha. So that's Parsonet Shema. The second of the 10 is Ein Ovrin Lefnei HaTeva. This is to act as L'Shliach Tzibur. What the Mishnah actually has in mind isn't what we think of necessarily, but rather if those same guys who do Parsonet Shema came even later, they missed Shmoneh Esrei, so then they'll have someone be Ovrin Lefnei HaTeva to do also Kedusha for them. That requires the Shliach Tzibur, the one who's being Ovrin Lefnei HaTeva, to say the first two brachas of Shmoneh Esrei, Avos and Gvuros, and then the third bracha of HaKel HaKadosh to include the Kedusha, and after that they would sort of leave the shul. But the point is, to do that, the Kedusha, you need to have 10 men. The third is Ein Nosen Eskapeyam. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa for a Kohen to bless Klal Yisrael, Kosavarchu Es B'nei Yisrael. This is the way you shall bless the Jewish people, and more lehem, say to them those psukim that we say, Yivarech Hashem Vishmorecha, etc. So again, it says, Kosavarchu es b'nei Yisrael, so you again have this, the limud, b'nei Yisrael, referring to you need to have 10 people, and in that case, the Kohanim are included in the minyan, so it's because they're part of the bracha, they're actually receiving the bracha, Hashem gives the bracha, not the Kohanim in truth. They're just conduits, so therefore, if you have 10 men in the minyan, including the Kohanim, you can do Birchas Kohanim. The fourth is Ein Korin B'Torah. You can't do Kriyas HaTorah for public Torah reading like we had in the previous Mishnah, unless you have a minion of 10. That's how the Chazal set it up. That's the Takanas Terabanan. They need a Tzibur of 10. Ein Maftirin B'Navi. You can't do the Haftorah reading, the Navi reading publicly, again, unless you have 10. That's how the Takana was and the rabbi set it up. The sixth is Ein Osin Ma'amadu Moshav. This is referring to something that also we don't do today, but in the time of the Mishnah, as part of the funeral procession when someone was being taken to be buried, so they would stop the procession 7 times. I'm telling everyone to stop, to sit, and they would say different prayers, supplications, kinos, and then they would stand up again and keep on going 7 stations. At each point of the 7, they, whoever was in charge of leading the thing, would say, you know, shvu yikarim shuvu, sit down, you yikarim, you honorable people. Sit, and then they would sit, and then again, when they would be ready to go, they would say, Amdu Yikarim Amodu, stand up, you honorable people, stand up. And that would happen 7 times each time that they move in the procession towards the burial. So it's understood that expression Yikarim, honorable people, is only appropriate in the context of a tzibur of 10, and therefore you need to have 10 people for the funeral procession, this Ma'amad Moshev process. Again, not done today. The seventh is Ein Omrin Birkas Avelim, the blessing that is recited for mourners. Here we're talking about the bracha that they say to the mourners on the first day of their avelis, their mourning, after they've buried their relative and they're returning back after the burial and the like closing up of the tomb. But prior to what's called the Sudas Havra'ah, the communal meal that was provided for the mourners, in between they make a bracha, and that bracha requires 10 people, and since the Avelim are on the receiving end, they are not included in the minyan. So you have 10 people besides the mourners to do this Birkas Avelim. Again, not done today. The eighth is Tanchume Avelim. This is in the time of the Mishnah. The way they did it was they would make like 2 rows of people and the passing by the mourners to console them. You need to have 10 men in the minyan to do that process, and again, the mourners aren't counted in the 10. The ninth is Birchas Chasanim, what we call Sheva Brachos. So the Sheva Brachos you say on the day of the Chasan, really all 7 days following, whenever you have Panim Chadashos, new people, that requires 10 men. In those cases, the Chasan himself is, yes, included amongst the 10, because the Chasan also is one of the people rejoicing. So when you have 10 at the benching of such a suda on the first 7 days after a normal wedding, you would have this Sheva Brachah, as we call it. If you don't have the 10 men, then you only have this one bracha of Asher Bara, and that starts Asher Bara. Okay, the 10th and final of the 10 that need a minyan in a conventional sense are Ve'ein Mezamnin B'Shem. When we do Birchas Hamazon, everyone is familiar, there's the Zimun, there's the invitation for everyone to participate. If you have 10 men, then you insert Nevarach Lelokeinu, Shachal Nemishalo. So the insertion of the word Elokeinu, Hashem, requires 10 men. Here I believe that Sephardim are lenient. If you have one of the boys is not quite Bar Mitzvah yet, but understands what's going on, he can be included. But in any case, the point is you need a minion to add the Elokeinu to the Zimun. Now, Pachos Masara, excuse me, the full sentence was, you don't do those 10 things, Pachos Masara, with fewer than 10 men. Okay, now, we'll have two more things that require 10 men, but also specifically also include a Kohen to be one of the 10. That's Uvekarkaos. You need Tisha of a Kohen. When it comes to land, you need 9 plus a Kohen for 10. This is referring to a case where a person consecrates his property to the Beis HaMikdash, making it hekdesh. To be technical here, there are two ways that can happen. There's such a thing as stay achuza, and there's such a thing as stay mikna. We're talking about stay mikna, so that means not an ancestral plot that was inherited all the way back, but rather a person, Reuven, bought a field from Shimon, and now he wants to give it to the Beis HaMikdash, consecrate it hekdesh, so then someone else, or for that matter Reuven, ultimately will purchase that land, because the Beis HaMikdash doesn't just want to own land, it needs to monetize the land, it will sell it, and the sale proceeds will deconsecrate the land, and the Kedusha will transfer to the proceeds of the sale. But what is the fair price? What is the market price for a piece of land? So since land is, every plot of land is idiosyncratic, right? Every land is different than every other piece of land. But this, you can't appraise it as easily as regular metalslin, chattels, other objects, which require just 3. Land needs 10 men. And then those 10 men together would, like, as they're like sort of expert appraisers, collectively will establish the price, what's a fair market price for the redemption of the land that has been consecrated. So one of those 10 men had to be a Kohen. That's based on Psukim. It's actually a limit from the fact that the word Kohen appears 10 times in the section of the Torah referring to these kinds of evaluations. And also, Va'adam k'yotze ben, a person also is like land. This is referring to a case where a person commits. He says, Damai Allah, he commits to contribute to the Beis HaMikdash his market value. In such a case, there's a connection, exegetical connection that connects people to land. But the point is that a person's heart's value, you need 10 men there. One of them is a Kohen who would just ascertain, determine, evaluate what the fair market value on a slave market this person would be worth. And then based on that number, that's the amount of money he has to contribute to fulfill his neder, his commitment to the Beis HaMikdash. Important to note, this is not the topic of erechen, arachen. If a person commits to give his erech, I'll translate that as value also, to the Beis HaMikdash, so that the Torah has a schedule. It says exactly, you know, each person, whether depending on their age and their gender, what their erech is. That's just a schedule, like a symbolic schedule of what a person is, so to speak, worth, which of course a person's infinite worth, so just a schedule from the Torah gives. But if a person commits his actual demayalai, like my slave market value, then we need 10 men, one of whom must be a Kohen, to evaluate that to ensure he fulfills his neder properly.